This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 1st, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, December 1st, 2016 will now come to order. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and that they're ready to enter into the home stretch of this year with full head of steam, and that all your holiday preparations are going well. We'll start off with a motion regarding late submitted documents. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of the following documents. Document, which is Agenda Document 16-70-A, 2016 Legislative Recommendation.
Any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. First item on the agenda is the correction.
Yes.
Oh, what's that? Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Is the correction and approval of minutes, four different sets of minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman, do we have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes for four meetings as follows. Meeting of September 15, 2016, Agenda Document 16-63A. Meeting of September 29, 2016, Agenda Document 16-64A. Meeting of October 27, 2016, Agenda Document 16-65A. A meeting of November 17, 2016, Agenda Document 16-66A.
Any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Second item on the agenda is the draft advisory opinion 2016-20, submitted by Christoph Mlarnicek. We discussed this last time. Ms. Jory, is there anything, any up-to-date information or anything further that the Office of General Counsel would like to present on this matter?
There is none. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing none, we can open it up for any questions that anyone may have of counsel or any discussion that anyone may have.
So we move to approve that.
On motion?
I don't know if anybody wants to speak to it at all. I'll just put in my two cents on this. This is an interesting, as I mentioned last time, this is was an interesting request in that we're talking about how does the government contractor contribution ban apply to an entity that was not in common existence at the time that the regulation on the government contractor ban was issued. I believe in the draft A, it talks about how in 1977, I believe, was the first state where a law was passed establishing the legal entities known as limited liability companies, and that was the same year when our government contractor regulations were put into place, and they've remained as such ever since. So it doesn't really our regulations do not contemplate what are the implications of a LLC being a government contractor, and what implications does that have for the ban on a member, in this case, a single member of that LLC. And looking at the, I think that this is a particularly not necessarily an easy question. I think it can go either way. Some of the things that ultimately sway me in this case to support draft B is that the definition of federal contractor refers to the person who actually enters into a contract. And in this case, an LLC does have a separate legal existence. The LLC and the member or members are distinct as a matter of law. And even though a single member LLC is a disregarded entity for tax purposes, it still is legally separate in terms of liabilities, debts, and so forth. And so a single-member LLC is not a sole proprietor. And the so in 115.5, which discusses individuals and sole proprietors who are federal contractors being prohibited from making contributions in connection with federal elections, a single member LLC doesn't neatly fit into that box. And 115.6, which says that nothing prevents a stockholder, officer, or employee, or members of unincorporated associations, cooperatives, membership organizations, labor organizations, or other groups, organizations, from making contributions in connection with federal elections. It seems to me that an LLC, even if it is a single member LLC, fits more into that box than it does in 115.5. And in some ways, the concerns that were expressed in the comments that were submitted about how this could potentially lead to some policy results that some don't approve of, I can understand those concerns, and there may be a need in light of the fact of the evolving way in which the law has developed in terms of these new organizations, and the fact that it's been almost 40 years since we've looked at the federal contractor ban and the regulations, whether or not there needs to be some clarification. That I would be open to that, and certainly understand the concerns that have been expressed. However, in terms of just looking at the actual language of the regs as they are currently drafted, I think that a single member LLC being a legally distinct entity, where the member that has its own identity, its own debts, its own liabilities, it is the actual entity that is entering into the a contract with the federal government. I think that places that organization into 115.6, and therefore, since that says that a member of an organization, which is a federal contractor, may still contribute in connection with federal elections, I think that analysis carries in this particular request, and for that reason, I'm going to I'll support draft B, which is set forth in agenda document number 16-57-B. Anything further? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just say what I said before. It's you're elevating form over substance. I mean, this is an anti-corruption measure, and to pretend that the sole member of a single-member LLC can't be corrupted or corrupting, actually, in this case, because the money is going through the LLC rather than out of the individual's personal checking account. I mean, that's just silly, frankly. It doesn't make any sense. So I will, as I said last time, I will be supporting revised draft A.
Do we have any other comments, discussion? Do we have any motions? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of agenda document number 16-57-A1, which is described as revised draft A, with respect to advisory opinion 2016-20, Mlynarczyk.
Any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? No.
No.
No. Madam Secretary, that motion fails by a vote of 3-3, with Commissioners Ravel, Weintraub, and the Vice Chairman in favor, and Commissioners Goodman, Hunter, and myself opposed. Do we have another motion? Commissioner Hunter?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of agenda document number 16-57-B.
Is there any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
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 Madam Secretary, that motion fails by a vote of 3-3, with Commissioners Goodman, Hunter, and myself in favor, and Commissioners Ravel, Weintraub, and the Vice Chairman opposed. All right. Thank you, Ms. Jory. We'll turn next I should note that item 3 on our agenda, which is a draft advisory opinion 2016-21, Great America PAC, that is being held over until next week and will be considered at the meeting of December 8th. So we'll turn to item 4 on our agenda, which is proposed amendments to Directive 52 as set forth in agenda document number 16-55-A. We have Mr. Stepanovic from the Office of General Counsel to give a presentation. And good morning to you, and when you're ready, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners. Agenda item number 16-55-A recommends amending the Commission's Directive 52 regarding certain Commission's voting procedures. Under Directive 52, matters requiring formal Commission action that have not been placed on a meeting agenda are circulated for a vote on either a tally vote or a no-objection ballot. Matters circulated on a no-objection ballot are deemed approved unless the Commission Secretary's office receives an objection from one or more commissioners by the voting deadline. Directive 52 currently allows no objection circulation of administrative fines, reason to believe recommendations, and final determinations in which the respondents do not challenge the reason to believe findings. Last year, the D.C. Circuit in Combat Veterans for Congress PAC versus the Federal Election Commission noted that the Commission's no-objection voting procedure must comport with the four affirmative vote requirement when the Commission investigates reports of suspected violations, including in instances when the suspected violation involves a missed filing deadline. Under the current proposal, therefore, Directive 52 will be amended so as to no longer allow for the circulation of administrative fines matters on no-objection ballots. Directive 52 would also be updated in several instances so that its procedures conform to the Commission's current accepted voting practices. And I will be happy to address any questions about these specific proposals. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. Do we have any questions of counsel regarding the amendments to Directive 52 or any discussion? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the, let's see what the correct title is, just agenda document 16-55A.
Any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Spanovic. Next, we'll turn to agenda item number 5, which is the proposed final audit report on the Utah Republican Party. This was brought up last time, and Commissioner Weintraub expressed some concerns about the procedural posture that we were in, considering that this is a recommendation on the proposed final audit report. Typically, the sorts of motions or edits that we were seeking typically take place at the audit division recommendation memorandum stage. And so the way I understand it is that we will first have a motion to reconsider the vote with respect to the audit division recommendation memorandum on the Utah Republican Party, which is set forth in agenda document number 16-38-A. And that once that we've had that vote, then we can vote with respect to the recommendations as to the findings. And as I understand it, just at the outset, we will be able to approve the recommendations with respect to findings 1 through 3 and 5 through 6, and that we may have subsequent motions as to recommendation 4, which pertains to record keeping for employees. So that's kind of the roadmap of what we need to do in order to resolve this. So do we have a motion to reconsider the vote with respect to the audit division recommendation memorandum on the Utah Republican Party?
I move to reconsider.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Yes, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say that I normally do not like to reconsider votes once they're taken in the interest of finality, and doesn't come up very often. It has come up a few times over the course of my tenure. But given that the audit report itself isn't final yet, the same finality concerns that I usually have with reconsidering votes don't really pertain here. So I will support the motion, which I do think is necessary since at an earlier stage the Audit Division made recommendations on findings and the Commission adopted those findings. So if we're going to unwind one of those findings, I think we really do need to sort of reconsider and go back.
Okay. All right. We have a motion on the table. Any further discussion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion to reconsider passes by a vote of 6-0. All right. So now that we've reopened the matter of the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum, do we have motions with respect to specific findings? The ones that I think that have unanimity, and I don't want to speak for anybody, for everybody, if I'm wrong on that, but I believe that 1 through 3 and 5 and 6, there aren't any concerns that have been expressed to anybody, so perhaps we could make a motion as to those findings. Commissioner Hunter.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of, in agenda document number 16-62A, approval of recommendations 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
Any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Do we have any further motions? Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of finding number 4.
Is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
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 Madam Secretary, that motion fails by a vote of 3-3 with Commissioners Ravel, Weintraub, and the Vice Chairman in favor, and Commissioners Goodman, Hunter, and myself opposed. Do we have a further motion? From what I understand...
I don't think we need one, do we?
Well, I think that there's... I think there may be some agreement. The way I understand it...
Sorry.
Maybe I could ask Commissioner. The way I understand it is that there is some agreement as to a portion of it that we could approve the portion of the recommendation related to the $270,738 that the committee disclosed as having been paid with an allocation of federal and non-federal funds. That portion we could break that portion off and I think and agree with the ADRM as it's set forward.
$14,000.
If I could just ask counsel's office, just a procedural issue. We can approve a portion of finding 4 that I think we all have agreement. Should we, as that part of that same motion, also direct the Audit Division to include in the proposed final audit report an additional issue section addressing the $14,504 for 100% non-federal payments, or should we actually split that off and have that as a separate motion? And perhaps I should also ask my colleagues whether or not they might prefer that as a separate motion as well.
We think it's fine to do it all at once. It doesn't have to be a separate motion unless there are reasons.
I just have a question about the number. So I'm looking at the blue document under finding 4, and it talks about $15,466 for which payroll was exclusively paid with non-federal funds. I assume that's the...
Yeah. Oh, I yeah. It's possible that that my number is...
14,000. Is it 14,504, right?
Oh. What page are you on?
Page 14. 14504, auditors?
Correct, yes. So the total out of non-federal was $15,466, but out of that, $962 was paid 100% non-federal in addition to being paid from federal in the same month. Therefore, number 3 on page 17, the $14,504, that's when it's completely 100% non-federal in the given month.
So just to make sure that we're 100% clear, 14,504 is the number that should be part of that will be the amount that will be kicked into the additional issues?
Yes.
Okay.
Where is it located?
Okay. So is there any further discussion or questions, or could we go forward with the motion?
That's what I'm going to read.
Let's see.
All right. Okay. Do we have a motion?
In the proposed final audit report on the Utah Republican Party, A13-06, in this meeting, its agenda document number 16-62A, I move to approve the recommendation for the record-keeping for employees finding as set forth in the agenda document 16-62-A related to the $270,738 that the committee disclosed as having been paid with the allocation of federal and non-federal funds, and direct the audit division to include in a proposed final audit report an additional issue section addressing the $14,504 for the 100% non-federal payments.
Just as a, I believe, a friendly amendment, I believe the document number that you referenced is the proposed final audit report, and we're now operating from the audit division recommendation memorandum. Okay. So as a friendly amendment, I believe the reference should be agenda document number 16-38-A. Is there any further discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No. No.
Okay. Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 4-2, with Commissioners Goodman, Hunter, the Vice Chairman, and myself in favor, and Commissioners Weintraub and Ravel opposed. Thank you very much. Turn now to...
Legislative recommendations.
Yeah. Turn now to item 6, which is the 2016 legislative recommendations. Dwayne Pugh here to give us an overview of the recommendations that we'll be voting on. And good morning to you. When you're ready, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, Commissioners. Before you today are the draft legislative recommendations for 2016, and they reflect input from all of the commissioners and from staff throughout the agency. The 13 recommendations for this year are electronic filing of Senate reports, electronic filing of electioneering communication reports, authority to create SES positions, fraudulent misrepresentation of campaign authority, making permanent the admin fines program, increasing some thresholds, authority to accept gifts, conversion of campaign funds, permitting political committees to make disbursements other than by check, increasing the in-home event exemption and unreimbursed travel expense exemption, prohibiting fraudulent PAC practices, and updating citations to reflect the recodification of FICA, and finally repealing some convention funding provisions. We recommend that the Commission approve these legislative recommendations so that we may provide them to Congress and the administration, including especially our oversight committees of the Committee on House Administration and the Senate Committee on Rules and Administration, our appropriations subcommittees, and our OMB contacts. And finally, I'd like to thank the commissioners and the FEC staff for their contributions to this document. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh, and thank you for all of your efforts to put this together and to keep us on track to make sure that we could get this done before the end of the year. And so thank you for all of your efforts and Ms. Pike's efforts on this effort. So do we have any discussion? Commissioner Ravel.
I just have a question. This is not with respect to the recommendations themselves, but since the time I've been here, to my knowledge, Congress has never adopted any of our legislative recommendations, and I'm just wondering what process you have to try to inform all of those committees and others of the content and why the commission deems them to be important?
Well, I'll take the latter part of that first. I think the commission traditionally has viewed it as important to express the commissioners and the commission's view of what the state of the law should be, notwithstanding the fact that I think a number of commissioners share the view that campaign finance is a tricky issue for Congress to tackle, mostly because there's a lot of reluctance to start down that path out of some concern about how far Congress might go and just how many provisions would be thrown into the mix. So even though substantive changes to campaign finance law are a tough ask basically for the commission, I think a number of commissioners over the years have felt it important to express their views on what the substantive law should look like and use this as a vehicle to do that. And that also brings up the success that we have had with legislative recommendations over the years has been more for administrative issues like the admin fines program that multiple times the commission has recommended extending it and multiple times Congress has. Or we also had an issue with our conference program and needed a legislative solution for that, and we were able to get that. So issues like that we've had more success with, and I would put some of these in that category. We have seen the recommendation on the general counsel and the staff director's salary. We've seen that turned into legislative language, which I think is significant progress to get it into their pond instead of our pond, if you will, of when congressional staff are researching campaign finance issues, the first place they start is other bills that have been introduced. So once we're in that environment, I think that's a significant step, and we are there on the salary fix issue. And as to our process, we start with providing it to the committees I mentioned, our oversight committees of House Administration and Senate Rules and Administration. Every member gets a copy, and the chairman will be asked to sign a pile of letters later today to get that done. We also give them to our appropriations subcommittees and to the executive branch through OMB. Then over the course of the year, we'll get questions about our legislative recommendations and always provide the one that's asked and the whole commission's package. Other times we might get asked by either new staff or new members for sort of an overview of the FEC, and we always are sure to include the FEC's legislative recommendations. And finally, we watch bills being introduced, and as bills are introduced that either touch on a recommendation or are similar, we're sure to point that out to the members' offices and again share another copy of the legislative recommendations to let them know that the commission has expressed support for either exactly the same thing or sometimes similar ideas. And we've seen success there, too, where a proposal will get expanded to include other things that the commission has recommended.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thanks. In terms of where we find success and where we don't, I agree that we've it seems to me like we're not really in the forefront of their agenda, but and this, who knows what's going to happen this year. But maybe I'm wondering what issues come to us from ones that are directed to you, or in other words, if you see an area where you think we might be effective legislatively, maybe we should set some time aside and see if there's some other areas and maybe probe a little bit and see if we could be a little more effective in that area. And maybe you could give some thought to how we could do that if that seems appropriate.
Absolutely. And particularly this year, some of the new topics, I think there's bipartisan support here and a bipartisan recognition on the Hill of some problem areas. So there's room for traction there.
Sounds good.
Is there any further discussion on these? Is there any further discussion on these? If none, do we have a motion? Mr. Vice Chairman.
I move to approve the legislative recommendation for 2016 prepared by our staff, Mr. Pugh, and the rest.
Okay. Any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. That brings us to the seventh and last matter on our agenda. Mr. Palmer, do we have any management or administrative matters to discuss?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
All right. Hearing none, meeting is adjourned.